Welcome to the Holy Try Podcast with AY, Dan, and Ken.
All right, 3, 2, 1.
We're on the air.
Yeah, we're on the air live.
Now it's getting started. I guarantee you that.
I think I got my swagger back. Oh, the Holy Triumvirate.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back. Another edition of Holy Try Football Podcast. It's bowl season. It's the most. How's it going, Ken?
It's the most wonderful time of the year. bowl games for watching. And
bowl games, the holidays, Christmas in full swing. Happy holidays. That's me, AY, here coming to you from the beautiful state capital of Commonwealth, Pennsylvania. Check us out on Twitter, Holy Try Football. Send us an email, holytryfootball@gmail.com. Bowl preview, part one of a few. We will get to that. I'm joined, per usual, out west, Pittsburgh. D-Bird, what's up, man?
Well, I am officially out of all things related to fantasy sports / pick and pull / contest. It's a somber week. I literally have nothing to look forward to.
Literally
nothing.
Literally, I can forward you the emails. I'm in that conference basketball draft email chain.
That would help.
We're in round 14 right now. The last pick. Most recent pick was Kent State from the MAC.
See, action's going on the MAC.
Yeah.
The action is going on in the MAC.
With a goal to pick the highest finishers in conferences. Like I said, I told you guys my first pick was Stony Brook, so tell you what kind of draft this is.
In depth. Research required.
Research required. And to my northeast, New York City, Ken, what's up, man?
It is a busy but warm holiday season right now. The city is a bustling, and I could not hate it more. It makes my head hurt. Holiday shopping. Got a little bit of that done today. Not the most relaxing activity there is, I'll tell you that much.
Not the most relaxing, that is for sure. But we're here to release some stress from the holiday season. I know you guys are out shopping, you know, finishing up things at work. You're stressed out because the family's coming to town. That weird uncle or awkward aunt, you know, all that stuff. We're here to talk about some football. Before we do that, though, there's just so much news going on. I mean, no, we're going to miss some, obviously. I don't know where you guys want to start with this, but let's get into some news and notes.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
So much news. I'm going to start with one piece. This is actually probably the freshest news we have. Ken Niumatalolo, the Navy head coach, staying at the Naval Academy. Not going to Brigham Young.
No.
Good for Ken.
Good for Ken. I know he was seriously considering this. His faith would have brought him pretty close to Brigham Young. I know he's of the Church of the Latter-day Saints. And obviously, when you're at such a prestigious university like Navy, and then you feel as connected to that, I think the only thing that would have brought him away was possibly either another service academy or Brigham Young, because it seems like he's very content at Navy.
And I believe his son plays there, too.
Yeah. And, you know, when you find the kind of person that really feels comfortable there, really feels like he's making a difference not only as a football coach, but at a whole nother level as far as being at a service academy, I think it's hard to get someone away from that. I mean, you saw Penn State lose a great coach in Ed DeGelis to Navy. It's a very alluring place to the men of duty.
Well, I don't know where. We can just spitball here. We had the Heisman Trophy go over. Army Navy, speaking of, we just mentioned Emotolo. That was a good game. Very fun game to watch.
Excellent.
We can touch on Texas A&M, Penn State, OC. Ken, say some things.
Yeah, I'm excited about Moorhead's hiring. He is an accomplished offensive, as an offensive coach, he's done some great things. You saw at Fordham in his 4 years there, they rose in the ranks in points per game consistently all the way up to about 36 points per game this past year. And you watched their game against Army this year. They put up, I think, 37 points. And he runs very multiple offense, up-tempo. And I'm looking forward to seeing how he adapts to the play. Because as you know, and as I've explained before, it comes down to the players. And right now, Penn State's still a little bit of ways, or got a little bit of ways to go as to get up to par as far as talent such as Ohio State's. But the important thing is adapting to it. And John Donovan, as seen with his dismissal, was not able to adapt his schemes and his philosophies to manage the talent and lack thereof that is at Penn State. Hopefully Moorhead, who's said all the right things and has shown that he's able to win a place at New York's one true team, Fordham, that isn't known for being in a talent-rich area. It's not a small school that's in Texas or California or Florida where the lower-end talent is still pretty good. He's at a place in New York that is kind of hard to get people to go there. You know, football's not that big here in the city, so it's a small Jesuit college. He's been able to win there in the Pat League, and we'll see how he does as far as adapting his schemes and to his players' strengths and weaknesses, which I think is one of coaching's biggest challenges.
Good deal. Dan, go ahead. Give us some news here.
Jim Chaney off to Georgia to join Kirby Smart's staff. Can't say I blame him.
To teach them how to use the computer, right?
To teach them how to, yeah. He's a very short-term fix, but a great one at that. Can't say I blame him for doing so, with the opportunity just to go to Georgia, an SEC school, on top of the fact that Tyler Boyd probably will be playing in his last game in a couple weeks. James Conner, I don't think we mentioned on the last pod, diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. So that's a obviously tremendous loss to the football team, and hopefully he can battle through that and make a full recovery. And just did a very exceptional job, in my opinion. I was an early critic of his, but he definitely was very, very consistent and pretty successful in his 1 year at Pitt. So we'll miss him, and especially I think so in the bowl preview, I'll be touching on that. And I guess wish him the best of luck, even though he'll probably be somewhere else in a year or two.
Yeah, we definitely do wish him the best. And Chaney gone, you guys haven't hired a new OC yet, have you?
Don't even know who's calling the plays for the bowl game yet.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry, guys, wins the Heisman. Beats out a close one with McCaffrey and Watson. I don't think we really have any quibbles with that.
No.
No, not much there. A&M, what's going on at A&M, Cam?
Oh, some turmoil. Last week, I believe it was, Kyle Allen transferring away from the program, who was the number one quarterback in the nation just 2 years ago. You remember he took over for Kenny Trill last year as a true freshman, came in as the incumbent, but was in a stiff quarterback competition and split much of his time this year with true freshman this year and number one quarterback this year in Kyler Murray. Well, as it turns out, a week later, he might not have needed to leave so early because Kyler Murray is rumored to be transferring out, at least as of 3 o'clock, about circa 3 o'clock today. And since then, Coach Sumlin has come out and denied these rumors. He says he's going to be starting the bowl game. We do not know right now what is the matter and what is going on in College Station, but there seems to be some interesting things going on, especially at the quarterback position. If Kyler Murray were to go, it would be very interesting what happens. You know, they've got a good quarterback coming in 2 years, though, so but next year might open the doors for someone like a Trevor Knight, maybe?
Mm. Quite possibly. But do you
Quite
want
possibly.
Him?
I want Trevor Knight, especially if I lose two good quarterbacks. I'd take a guy. I believe Kenny Trill did go to Texas A&M, didn't he? Oh, no, he went to TCU. No, sorry.
He left from Texas A&M.
Wow, he left Texas A&M. Sorry.
Well, like a young Malik Zaire.
Mm. Oh, dear.
A young Malik Zaire.
Who is back to practice.
Ah, will he play?
Word is no.
Word is no.
I don't really see the point either.
Me neither.
But we'll get to that.
As long as he doesn't solicit.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
As long as he doesn't solicit.
Well, we can go get to that in the preview. What else we got here as far as news-wise? I know it's been a while. Do you see Kirk Herbstreit got Chris Fowler back?
I saw a headline about that. I did not see what exactly happened. Please explain further.
With the help of Jimmy Kimmel. Kimmel had on Fowler and Herbstreit, maybe it was last night, recently though. And, you know, they got their shots in on Kirk about, they showed the video and the crowd was laughing at him. It was all in good fun. But apparently when they walked into one of the dressing rooms, they had, I think it was that same zombie hidden and walked out as Fowler walked in. And he cursed a little bit and almost gave like a punch in the face. But then quickly realized it was Joe Herbstreit was loving it.
Oh, yeah. Fowler always a man of composure.
Always. Fowler can...
always.
You know, the question some of my friends and I was bringing up is, who's your ultimate golf foursome? You know, out 18 holes, drinking some sodas for 4 or 5 hours. Fowler making a strong push to be in mine.
I'd love to have Gary in on it.
Much to roommate Casey's chagrin. Caseman.
Yeah.
Or former roommate Caseman?
Former roommate.
Wow. Ex-roommate Caseman's chagrin.
Cannot believe
it. Is your nest empty, Dan?
My nest is indeed empty. Except for the Ron man. He's in it for the long haul.
The Ron man? Those are the days. I need to get back to that solo. For another day.
Indeed.
Duke's Jeremy Cash, surgery, missing the ballgame against IU. Bunch of quarterback injuries as far as, you know, Washington State, Cincinnati. Gunnar Keel's kind of off the map right now.
Yeah, he's taking some personal time. Connor all's well with his family.
Yeah, Connor Cook looks good to go. There's been so much, it's hard to keep track of. Coaching-wise, I don't really think too much has gone on, but interesting point on Russillo made today or yesterday. He was saying how that coaching carousel was going round and round, and the NFL didn't even get to theirs yet. And right. You know, names are going to pop up. Someone might test the waters and leave, and it might start all over again.
Yep. I am fully anticipating a round two.
Like, whether it be an Urban or a Brian Kelly or a
big timer.
Yeah, whether it be something like that, and then, you know, they take from somewhere and then starts the carousel all over again. So not quite over yet, even though for now it's slowed down. Otherwhere in the news, random recruiting news, Kendall Fuller, Virginia Tech cornerback going to the draft, as well as Sua Cravens. We have plenty of time to get to that as far as...
Good calls by both of them?
Mm-hmm. As far as who's the... Kim Dichi, guys. What the heck?
No!
Oh, what an idiot.
Wow. What an idiot, but God, am I glad he's okay, and God, am I glad he didn't get more than, what, some scratches and nicks and tears from a four-story fall? How crazy is that?
Then apparently it was 15. This says that who's that USC safety last year? That Josh...
Josh Shaw?
Josh Shaw, yeah. This is kind of... I kind of have that feel from this.
Well, everybody... Everybody already knows he's been charged with marijuana possession, and I think it's fairly common knowledge that was involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, you know, might be some more, who knows.
Instead of running away from the police, apparently.
Yeah, with two busted ankles. he called it a lapse in judgment, but yeah, whatever.
Fair assessment.
Fair assessment. But not his only run-in with the law. We'll see how this affects how he goes in, what is it, April or June? When is the draft nowadays? I don't even know.
May? Yeah, it's right around the first Saturday of May, which everyone knows is the reserved for the Kentucky Derby.
Ah.
Indeed.
I do have some early leans, as does Roth.
Not to be confused with.
But we will share those in February.
Good deal.
Good deal indeed. Otherwise, other news, I don't know. I think we'll be doing a lot of these so we can get to anything we missed. You guys have anything else that you can think of right here off the bat?
Trying to think here.
Is Chaney still at... where's he at now, Dan? Georgia?
Georgia, yeah.
Is he still there?
Clever.
Slid that one in there. So there's that. New guys, bowl games-wise, we have, what, 40?
40.
Yeah. 40, then you got the playoff. What's up with this Celebration Bowl?
Two score.
You know what I'm talking about? Like, what's this? The Celebration Bowl at 12 noon on Saturday.
With Alcorn State or whatever?
Alcorn State, North Carolina A&T.
Is that a real bowl game?
I don't know.
No.
It's on the Capital One Bowl Mania Pick'em.
Is that another interconference matchup between SWAC teams or something?
I don't. Pay no attention. Omit that from your picks.
That's the bowl game not to watch.
I've got another one I'd like to make a strong case for.
Okay, we can get that for sure. Besides that, we got 40 games in the national championship, 41. I'm ready to dive into part one. You guys ready?
I am ready to roll.
I am ready to roll.
Oh boy, here we go. This Saturday, 12/19, 2 p.m., the festivities are kicked off out in New Mexico. What is this? The Gideon New Mexico Bowl, I believe?
Or Gildan?
Oh, Gildan!
Gildan. I feel like we had that debate last
year. Gildan. Not to be confused with Hanes, these are less well-fitting shirts, Gildan.
Yeah.
Not as good.
Don't worry, the Holy Tri football shirts are not made of Gildan.
Correct. American Apparel all the way.
Or Hanes.
Yeah, you guys get Hanes.
Did you not tell us that was an option?
Because it took you 45 minutes to pick out a design.
It doesn't even look like white and blue. It looks like white and black. It looks like a black and white shirt.
Take it up with designashirt.com.
Take it up.
Just fade it to pink and black.
Starting out, Gildan New Mexico Bowl, 2 p.m. on ESPN from Albuquerque. Arizona takes on New Mexico. New Mexico, a 9-point underdog here. Dan, where are you going here?
Well, this is Bob Davies' swan song before he goes back to Notre Dame.
Last chance to make a big statement here, Big Bob. Big game, yeah. Bob. First big game, Bob.
Scooby-Doo's playing. Basically a modern-day option versus old-time option for the most part. And it is a home game for the Lobos, I believe. So this is a home dog of the week. I guess you can make the case for the solid verbal. Arizona played in the wild one, if you recall, a couple years ago against Nevada out in Albuquerque. Maybe this one will be a little bit similar. I'm certainly hoping so. I get 34-30.
No Kadeem Carey.
No Kadeem Carey, though. Correct. I'm going 34-31 Wildcats.
Currently playing on Dan's fantasy-drafted Minnesota Vikings team.
Correct.
Ken, which way are you in here? Arizona's 9-point favorite.
Yeah, I am. They supposedly getting Scooby right back, I believe, and Anu Solomon is supposedly playing. I think they will do pretty well here. I got them winning 42-21.
Ooh, cat big.
Cat's big. Cat's bump.
I'm just gonna set this precedent here, set the tone for all my picks this bowl season. I'm pretty much throwing the records out, throwing everything out. Who wants it more? I mean, we see it every year. We fall into these traps of, oh, how good this team is, and they just don't show up. So yeah. I'm going to try my hardest to stick to that this year. Although, this first game, I'm not gonna do it. Arizona is the better team. The two common opponents, Arizona won. New Mexico lost. I don't have that sheet in front of me. I missed it. Arizona's finally rested. They had none bye weeks all year.
they didn't have until the last week of the season. They're going to be super rusty.
They get Anu back, Scooby back. I think Scooby's going to be fired up to play. He's going to want to play. I think they can get him rallied up. New Mexico is playing at home. But the spread dipped down to 9. I like that. I think it's a 10-point game. 41-31. Arizona wins this game.
Wow.
Keep an eye on that spread. 3:30 that same day on ABC. The Holy War out west.
Ah, this is an exciting game here. I think this is the best matchup for us, the first set of games.
Pretty fired up for the Royal Purpose Las Vegas Bowl, BYU.
Royal Purple, Royal Purple.
Wait, what'd I say?
Purpose. A very Royal Purpose, a very purposeful game.
The Crown Royal Purple Las Vegas Bowl. Minus the crown. From Vegas, 3:30 ABC. Utah, 2.5-point favorite. Can, who do you like here in the Holy War?
I think there's very unique dynamics here at war. No pun intended. BYU in a place they're not very comfortable with, a place of sin. You know how pristine their reputation is. Against a team that doesn't want to really be there either. Utah, I think, feels that they may have been gypped a little bit in the Pac-12 pecking order, landing in the Las Vegas Bowl seemingly lower tier bowl, but they're playing against a rival here. You could throw all the records out. BYU, without their head coach, I think they will circle the wagons against a Utah team that may or may not want to be there. And I think that BYU is going to win a squeaker here, a la earlier in the season for them. They're going to win here 26-24.
I like it. Dan, are you in line with Can?
I am. No Devontae Booker either, a.k.a. Utah's offense. Monsieur Flo, a.k.a. Travis Wilson, will have to carry the load, and I don't think he'll do that very well. BYU, too, was impressive down the stretch ever since the beatdown in Ann Arbor. I guess sans the Missouri game, which they lost. They won 7 out of 8. Yeah, little manga magic left for the Cougars, 27-21 BYU.
We all agree here.
Wow.
I like BYU. Dan, to furthermore your point about Travis Wilson, in the two games he did not have Devontae Booker, 23 of 52 for 218, 4 sacks, just 2 20-yard completions. Joe Williams has filled in nicely, but it's on the same team. And coming back to my constant train of thought here during bowl season, Utah was ranked, number 1 in the AP or number 1 in some of these polls?
I believe so.
At least as far as power rankings, I know Clay Travis was all over him. They were getting all kinds of love early in the year. And now it's just, wow. Give me the Cougar to circle the wagons around Bronco.
Circle the wagons.
The loser Bronco, 3 assistants. They circle him here. Even the Utah fans don't even want this game.
Yeah, I don't know why. This is I know why. Because they think they're getting slighted by the Pac-12.
Mm-hmm.
Dan, you know how that feels, right?
No, I don't, because I don't really care about bowl games unless it's the playoff.
Unless there's no difference between a 6-6 win team and a 9-win team.
100% accurate, in my opinion.
We go down south to the Raycom Media Camellia Bowl.
Raycom Media.
Ohio, geez. The Bobcats taking on the Mountaineers of Appalachian State, 5:30 on ESPN. I like this game. This is one of those games I mentioned in the last pod I was excited for.
Especially because of the Raycom, right? You know you love the Raycom, but we're more familiar with what a Raycom is these days. Exactly. More familiar than last year, at least, right?
Oh, that's for sure. Last year, half these things I had no idea what they were. But no real crazy analysis here. I didn't catch much of Ohio or App State throughout the year. But Ohio's been not good down the stretch. Pretty blah, to be in fact. And I don't know if they can really circle the wagons to get up for this one game. Meanwhile, App State, fired up to be here. Just recently, the FBS program. And I asked myself, this 7.5-point spread, which ticket would I rather be holding when I'm watching the first quarter unfold? And App State looks fired up. But I want them. Give me App State. I'm just giving 14. 34. Now, get a little higher. 41-27. App State wins.
Wow.
Love it.
Love it.
Can a little bit of disagreement?
No, I don't think so. I think Ohio's pretty mediocre MAC team, and I think App State, you know, they're making their way here. They've come a long way since they were a 1AA, a powerhouse, and they've gotten their feet under them. I think they're stacking up right up there with every other mid-major. I think they've got a nice program down there. Just like you, not very much analysis, but I got them winning here 31-21, covering.
Yeah.
And do we all agree?
We do all agree again. Ohio can barely field a team if you look at their injury report. Once again, brought to you by DonBest.com.
DonBest.com.
And App State is a damn Brady Theorem selection, which went 37-20 in the regular season. So I'm going 31-13 Mountaineers.
Oh, love it. Love being on the side of the theorem. And can. That spells success.
That is the recipe for success.
That, just triple barrel lock all of these.
Oh boy, let's not get too crazy yet. The Auto Nation Cure Bowl. In Orlando, 7 p.m. on the CBS Sports Network. San Jose State, the Spartans, 5-7, taking on Georgia State. Dan, what does your analysis say here?
I'm appalled that this is a thing. Although I am happy for Georgia State, and I will go with Georgia State to win 31-28.
Well, you can.
No. Georgia State is not good. They shouldn't. They got on that hot streak down at the end, miraculously got into a bowl game, and I think they will sink back into what they were before. I've got San Jose State here. No David Fails, but they're still going to win.
Yeah, Cam, neither is San Jose State, though.
What's that?
San Jose State is not a good team either.
No, but I know that Georgia State is not. I do not know anything about San Jose State. I got San Jose State winning. I'll have them win 20-21-13. Ugly game.
Well, you kind of made my point for me, Cam. Now, Georgia State won all those games towards the end to get into this bowl game, and it's their first bowl. They're going to be fired up for this.
Fired up.
It's a close game from home for them. San Jose State, traveling almost 3,000 miles. Watch out for that body clock. You that body clock. Georgia State, fired up for this game. Give me them. They're 3-point dogs. Give me them outright. 34-27. Get some, Georgia State. Love it. I might even need to revisit that later in a certain segment, we'll see.
Oh, dear.
Wow.
Wow. Closing out the nightcap from New Orleans, the R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl. Arkansas State versus Louisiana Tech. Louisiana Tech, 2-point favorite down there in their home state. Ken, what do you think?
This one's a tough one, and you know, you got it. This one's tough. I'll go with Louisiana Tech here in their home state. New Orleans is tough. Arkansas State doesn't have Brett Bielema. Louisiana Tech will generate their shades of Sonny Dykes, and they're going to win here. Skip, you know, the team he just left, South Florida, is doing well. He's got some motivation to prove them wrong for letting them go. I think they're going to win here. Let's go 28-14.
Can, I kid you not, I have this on my notes section here. Is this doubles as the coaches with something to prove bowl. So were you peeking on mine? You know, you said the skipper clamoring for another Power 5 shot. And Blake Anderson is on the cusp of getting a bigger gig at that.
Wait, what? Was Skip out of Power 5 spot to begin with?
At the time, it was.
Oh, South
Florida. Power 6, East, I guess.
Right. Of Power 6, yes.
And I like the skipper along with you. Stick it to the Red Wolves, which is a great mascot, by the way. 45-27 lock.
Right up there with the Thunder Wolves.
Correct.
That is true. I am going against you guys today in this one.
Ooh. You love Wolves. Yeah. You just love Wolves.
Big fan of the Red Wolves here for a few reasons. One, they're riding an 8-game win streak. They're pretty fired up. Louisiana Tech lost at home to Southern Miss to go to the Conference USA title game. They are still upset about that. They're a little upset, like I said, and they're not really in it. They're playing at home, no real destination for them. In Arkansas State, Cannell picked them on the Capital One Bowl Mania show, and they tweeted him saying, "Look, guys, Cannell thinks we're going to win. Now we're going to do it for him." Something so simple. They're 2-point dogs. They're going to win this game outright. 24-20. The Red Wolves. Sweet name, like we said. Ark State.
Brett Bellema.
That is your Saturday lineup. One game on Monday, guys. Miami Beach Bowl. Marlins Park. Oh, jeez. 2:30 on
Park.
Western Kentucky versus South Florida. South Florida getting 2.5 points. Dan, your boys, 2.5 point favorite.
Yeah. Taking here? Well, most have jumped back on, you know, Willie Taggart's bus. And Jeff Brohm should be an AAC coach at minimum. For USF,
at the very minimum.
Yeah, USF, just watch Marlon Mack run the football. He's the second best Mack in football behind Khalil. Dowdy's still a stud, though. I'm interested to see how much of a chance he gets to the next level, if any. And I've got Topper Nation, 37-27.
Cool. Ken, you go, Dan.
This Jeff Brohm is Brian Brohm's brother, right?
Dad, I believe. Or uncle.
Dad. Okay. Because I remember his brother.
Maybe uncle.
I believe it was his brother that coached him as a quarterback at Louisville under Petrino.
Are you sure it was not his uncle?
Maybe it was his uncle then. Not sure.
Because he is 44.
What's that?
He is 44. That'd be quite the
maybe he's guy. Maybe he's an older brother.
That's an old brother.
I mean, Brian Brohm played in like 2006.
He coached his younger brother, Brian Brohm. I stand corrected. Cam was right once again.
Yes! Yes!
That is... I think Brian right. Brohm was a mistake.
And in breaking news, Cam was right.
Continue, though.
Yes, Jeff Brohm, though. You're right. Good coach. I like what he's done there. Western Kentucky picking up where Petrino left off. But I got to ride with my boys down in St. Pete, Tampa, Florida, University of South Florida. I think Willie Taggart's got something going here. After, the first year and a half, weren't showing many signs of life. Jim Harbaugh's best man has got the bus rolling again. Getting on Willie Taggart's bus. I think he's got some nice, nice young talent down there from South Florida. As you know, the talent is very strong down there, even in the lower tier, mid and lower tier. So he's got to roll in, and he's in line for a bigger job coming up soon. I think so.
So you like South Florida?
I like South Florida here to cover and to win. Not that large of a spread. I like them to cover and to win. Let's go 27-24.
Okay, I'm going with Dottie here. Dottie. Western Kentucky to cover a real close game here. Like a kind of a shootout of sorts. South Florida kind of controls the clock a little bit, but I think Western Kentucky will get their points in a 37-34 game. Be a high score, I like that. Dottie, 4,600 yards, 45 touchdowns this year. I think he just finds a way, maybe a late drive, a late thrilling drive for us as we get out of work.
This is two straight times I've gone against Dottie in Western Kentucky. I don't know if that's a good thing.
Well, I don't know either. We move to Tuesday. Two games on the docket. The famous Idaho Potato Bowl. Akron taking on Utah State in Boise, 3:30, ESPN. Utah State, 6.5-point favorites. They've lost 3 of 4. Akron's won 4 straight games. I don't think this is a good spot for Utah State, guys. Trey Keaton hasn't really looked that great, and Akron's defense is pretty legit as far as the efficiency metrics go. They're pretty high up there. Utah State might view this as, like, we're going to Boise. Like, we're already there this year, blah, blah, blah. Akron, they see Boise as just a new place to go. They're kind of excited for it. And quarterback, dual threat, Thomas Woodson, leads the upset here.
Gateway zone.
Gateway zone.
Akron's getting 6.5. They win this game 27-24 in a good one up there on the blue turf. Cam, do you agree with me?
I disagree. I think Utah State out there in Mountain West country, they know what goes on out there. They played, like you said, in Boise quite a few times. I think Chucky Keaton, what is this, his sixth year? He's got more experience than all of Akron's quarterbacks combined. And I think they're going to win here. Maybe not cover. I won't take them to cover, but I think they're going to win here. Let's go something like 34-28 out there in the cold. Akron body clocks are not adjusted to the mountain time.
That's true. Dan, what do you think?
Wait, Ken, who'd you end up picking?
I have Utah State winning, but Akron cover.
All right, that's what I thought. I'm in disagreement with both of you. Ryan Manning made a great comparison on the shutdown fullcast this week. Check it out. It's an SB Nation podcast. Between Terry Bowden and the famous Idaho potato mascot. And I encourage y'all to Google famous Idaho potato mascot because he's pretty spot on with it.
He's awesome.
I would like to see the Zips pull this out for Pitt 2016 strength of schedule, which the committee will certainly take into consideration. However,
absolutely,
I like the Aggies 27-14. And I've got no players to watch in this game, by the way.
That's fair. The nightcap, 7 p.m. from Boca Raton, the Marmot Boca Raton Bowl.
Hold on. Who's going to be wearing marmot? Isn't marmot like stuff you wear when you go hiking and shit? Like, it's a brand of clothing for, like, outdoors and, like, warm clothes and stuff like that.
I'm looking like North Face. Marmot is...
Is it like North Face?
An outdoor clothing and sporting goods company founded in 1974 as Marmot Mountain Works.
Yeah, like mountains, right?
Yep.
What the hell does marmot have to do in Boca Raton? Who's going to be wearing marmot shit in Boca Raton?
You just got wealthy grandparents buying stuff for their grandkids in their northern cities. I don't know.
That's how you connect the dots.
Yeah. Simple, Ken.
Connect the dots.
Think about it.
Think about it.
Temple is a 1.5 point favorite here against the Rocket Up Rockets. Dan, who you got?
16 candles, or however the song goes. Jason Candle, Toledo's recently promoted head coach, gets his first shot in such a heralded bowl game. Toledo, they didn't really meet expectations this season, plain and simple. They beat Arkansas and Iowa State to begin the year, but could not manage to top NIU and their backup quarterback to win the West. Temple exceeded lifetime expectations by beating Penn State, taking Notre Dame to the wire, and coming up a bit short in the AAC title game. Maybe they're a little too fat and sassy. Maybe they're too content. I get the Rockets ending the year on a high note, 24-14 over the Owls.
Generations of expectations.
Generations. Okay. Centuries, if you will.
Centuries. For centuries.
Toledo, okay, rock it up. This is tough for me. You mentioned the interim coach. It seems like a team always wins with the interim coach. There's no factual evidence behind that. But just the perception is they do rally. They did lose to Western Michigan at home for a shot at the MAC title game. So if I'm sticking with that theory as far as the La Tech theory, come what you would say, they'd be a little bit down. But you did say Temple did overachieve all year. I just don't think they're very good, but no, somehow kind of are. I like Matt Rhule a lot as a coach. He's an awesome guy from what I've seen in press conferences and just heard about him. So I really want to pick him for the Notre Dame SOS. I'm going to go against my train of thought here and just go Toledo for no reason other than because it makes no sense. Toledo, 23, Temple, Isles, 21.
Sounds good.
Isles. This game is very interesting. Probably the best mid-major bowl, I think, out there. And I like Temple here, not only for Notre Dame's strength of schedule, not only for Penn State's strength of schedule, but mainly because I was very impressed with their showing against Greg Ward, Tom Herman, and the Houston Cougars. Temple showed me something there. I thought they were going to get blown out of the water down there in Houston. But they held tough. Their defense really, really stepped up to it. You know, holding Penn State to 10 points and getting 10 sacks, that's not really that large of a feat. Holding Notre Dame to, what was it, 24 points or something like that, that was pretty good. But I didn't know how they were going to take a spread offense like Houston. They impressed me. I really like that defense. I like this team to win here. Hard-fought game, but they're going to win something like 24 to, let's go 20, 24 to 20.
All right. That's fair. I like it.
Yeah, and don't count yourselves out yet, EY. Temple wins, strength of schedule thing. Other bowl games break your way. Notre Dame, if they have an impressive showing against Ohio State, may just jump the winner of the if Michigan State beats Alabama.
There's none chance of that.
And jump right into the championship game.
So there's a spoiler for you guys. None chance Michigan State beats Alabama.
Oh, but if it were to happen, then you would jump into national championship.
Absolutely. And this is a little preview. Notre Dame does get Michigan State next year, week 3.
Wow.
Whoa, Nelly.
I could be eating a lot of crow.
That'll be some good shit right there.
You know what? I might just lock it up. Notre Dame covers Michigan State next year.
Lock it up. Whoa!
A week 3 lock in advance. I love it.
Excellent.
Where are we at here? We just went over... Oh, we just went over that, yeah. So now we're down to December 23rd, Christmas Eve. Dan, do you want to say this for us?
San Diego. San Diego Credit Union Poinsettia Bowl.
Poinsettia Bowl.
I say poinsettia, but I swear they say it on poinsettia on the commercials.
Poinsettia.
San Diego County Credit Union Poinsettia Bowl.
This is a classic up there, I think, with the peach ball and the orange ball and citrus ball.
No, yeah, this is good stuff. This is
the San Diego Credit Union Poinsettia Bowl.
4:30 from Qualcomm Stadium, Boise State versus Northern Illinois. Northern Illinois getting 8.5 in this game of injured teams. I mean, both teams are so banged up. No one knows who's playing quarterback for their team. But I think, you know what? I'm going full circle. You'll get full circle here, guys. Boise State was my 4th seed in the playoff. They disappointed me. So I'm going to jump back on the bus for one more time. Boise State wins this game by 10 to the Spurback and McNichols. Give me 34-24 Broncos. Ride 'em, Cowboy.
Good deal.
That's a shout out to Wyoming, too. Going bowling next year, boys.
Y-O.
Dan, who you got here in the San Diego County Credit Union Boys at all?
Well, I think this is a similar narrative to the Boca Raton Bowl. As you mentioned, Boise State vastly underachieving, not only in your mind, but in the minds of many. Not even getting to the Mountain West title game, which should honestly never happen. That should not be a thing. And conversely, Rod Carey pulling off a minor miracle and topping Toledo on the road with their backup quarterback and getting to Detroit. My pick for this game, if that Northern Illinois quarterback that played in the championship game plays and starts this game, I would wager every cent to my name on Boise State because that kid is atrocious. But if Kent Graham's nephew is able to play for NIU, I'd like them to cover. For the sake of argument, I'll just go 27-20 Boise.
Okay.
Tommy Fiedler is his name, by the way.
Yeah, I'm going to go here with your playoff pick. I not like NIU this year with, what is it, their walk-on quarterback playing. They disappointed me last time they played and we watched them. They had some heart. They fought back, but I think Boise's too much of a winning tradition here for them. They've got winners on that team. They're going to go out like winners. They're going to win here. We'll go big, 42-20.
Yeah, the only thing that worries me here is that they're not used to these kind of bowls. They're used to the bigger bowls, but this is where I say have some pride.
Yeah.
And just prove you're a superior team. I don't know if they're going to need to show up that much because, like we said, the injuries, man, jeez.
They are banged up.
And the second game, the nightcap on New Year's, Christmas Eve. Actually, we're going to round out part one with this game. The Go Daddy Bowl. Georgia Southern taking on Bowling Green in Mobile, Alabama, 8 p.m. on ESPN, Bowling Green State University, 7.5-point favorite. Dan, where are you going here?
Dino's off to Syracuse. I'm sorry in advance, Dino, but keep getting them checks, man. Willie Fritz is off to Tulane. I'm sorry more, Willie. In advance, what were you thinking? A little too much Bowling Green offense in this one. I got 44-31 Falcons.
Cam, what do you got?
Yeah, I think Bowling Green, although they're minus a head coach, he's laid a great foundation there. They know what they're doing on offense. They don't need him. They've got a strong quarterback leader there. He's been in the system, and I don't think they need them to win here against Georgia Southern, who will most likely just be running the ball straight down their throats. Should be a fun game, contrasting styles. I look forward to it, but they Bowling Green's going to win here by about 10 points. Let's go 28-17, so 11 points-ish.
Ken, wow. Your thoughts were a perfect segue to what I'm about to say. Georgia Southern, number one rush offense. Bowling Green, number three pass offense. Georgia Southern best not fall behind. And the Falcons' power through the air here is a little too much for Georgia Southern. They win this game 40-26, weird score. 40-26, Bowling Green State Falcons win the GoDaddy Bowl. Let's, there's a 10 spot there. It's been a while since we've locked up some games. Let's get to the best part of the week. Let's lock up a game or two.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Dan, where are you going here?
So, just to bring the listeners up to speed on our contest, we have extended into bowl season. And as AY mentioned in the opening, we're going to do four different previews, 10 bowl games apiece. We will each pick a lock from those group of 10. And the Holy Tri Troll has weighed in on the first two.
Well, it only took 13 weeks for you asshats to finally reach your true potential. That's right, kids. Holy Tri Troll here with your first two bowl locks of the 2015 season. But first, let's review the last week of the regular season when these clowns went 0-3. Hey, why? I actually took my phone back to the Apple Store after listening to the podcast and seeing what happened because I thought you kept saying 3-0 and then went 0-3. I thought maybe I had a wire loose or something, but I didn't. Hey, Kent, way to give a team that's only lost by 20 or more once all season 20 points. Just to prove me right, the true lock of the week is the opposite of what you picked. And Danny, maybe Ronnie was on vacation last week and you and Kent resorted to the Swedish Periscope. If you don't know what it is, look it up. Looking for your lock of the week, only to be wrong. Way to really fight back the mediocrity, Danny. Well, with my two locks, Group 1, Utah, -2.5, and Group 2, Washington State, -2.5, with your first two locks of the holiday season.
Oh, boy. He's going into the holy war. That's dangerous.
That is dangerous.
That is holy.
But my lock, before we went into it, I got Western Kentucky, -2.5, taking down Willie and setting his bus on fire. I said 37-27, I'll stick with that. Topper Nation, baby.
Wow. Topper Nation. Ken, where are you going here?
I am going to lock up my friend Chucky Keaton, -6.5 over Akron. Cold weather. And the mountain time. Terry Bowden, I wonder what color his hair is right now. Maybe auburn, copper penny again.
Maybe it'll be pink.
Maybe pink.
Well, this is interesting because I was thinking about locking up Akron.
Well, we get one there at least.
We'll get one there at least. There, that's the way we're gonna climb back into this here and win it.
No, we. Well, I guess I need to change my train of thought here. Give me Georgia State, guys. +3, their first ever bowl game. The body clock theory is going to work here for me.
Golden Eagles. Wait, Georgia State.
Georgia State.
The Panthers.
Over San Jose State.
San Jose State, all right.
Georgia State, +3. As your true lack of the week. I should have just taken BYU just to go mono. Yay. So there it is, part one, some locks. Fired up to get to part two. You got any parting shots here?
No.
No.
Good deal. Well, for me, AY, beautiful state capital of Commonwealth, Pennsylvania. And for D-Berg out west.
Good night, all.
And Ken in New York City.
Good night, and AY said the best part of her week is locking it up. You're going to have twice the fun, at least this week.
Yeah. For sure. Appreciate you guys listening. Check out the Twitter account, and we will talk to you later. Have a good one.